You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Matthew chapter 5. Even though I have that much time, I'm going to start preparing the week before. I just want you to know, okay, that's how it works. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's do this. Let's read all the Beatitudes together, starting at verse 3, and we'll get down to verse number 8, which is our text verse. We'll end with verse 8. So we'll read chapter 5, verse 3 through 8, just to kind of refresh us with all the Beatitudes that we've covered so far. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's an interesting beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in, do a little review here, and get right to the lesson tonight. Father, please bless, I pray. Use me as I communicate what you've laid upon my heart, and I pray that it would go forth and that you'd use it in the hearts and lives of the people here today. God, I don't want to get in the way of your message. I pray that you would speak very clearly tonight and help us from your word. Illuminate our eyes, God, to some truth tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was walking in tonight from the house, walking through the parking lot. I saw Brother Cole pull up. I said, "Hey, Brother Cole, how you doing?"
"Good evening, Brother Reynolds."
"Good. Yeah, good to see you, Brother Cole." And I said, "How long does it normally take you to get here, Brother Cole?" And he says, "Well, I left at about 5:15. And I was like, it's like 6:35 right now. And I was just thinking like how blessed we are, first of all, to live here. But then my wife looks over at me and goes, 5:15? You better bring it tonight so it's worth it. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, she's in nursery, so she won't know. All right, you just tell her, Pastor, he knocked it out of the park. It was worth it. All right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's review. The Beatitudes are part of the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Probably you've already filled these in. That's okay. Now, you can only get ahead of me in the review section. Can't get ahead of me in anything else, okay? The Beatitude means supreme blessedness. I switched it up on you. Supreme blessedness, okay? Highest happiness you could get is if you possess these qualities. As we read them, we ask, why are they blessed? With what are they blessed? Okay, what does God bless them with? Because they have it. Notice that each beatitude has a present blessing, so blessed are the pure in heart now, but there's also a future blessing promise, for they shall see God, for they shall, for they shall, for they shall. And so we're blessed now because we have them. We're happy now because we have them. Supreme blessedness. But not only that, we're going to get more rewards in the future as well. Now, we talked about last week that it's like a ladder of light. As Spurgeon called it, every beatitude builds upon another one. As it ascends in characteristic, it brings us lower in self. It's lower in self, higher in characteristics that resemble God. We also said we can't pick and choose the Beatitudes and pick and choose the ones we like and throw out the rest. It is a package deal. Okay, it's a package deal. They build upon one another. We need to possess all of these Beatitudes. Okay, now let's look at verse 6 here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Very interesting. Let's look at the what, first of all. The what. What does the word pure mean? So let's find out, what is Jesus talking about when he says the pure in heart, okay? I think we could probably give a good definition, each of us, but the word means clean. It means clean or clear. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we've got several passages we're going to look at tonight, so I want you to use your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Pure means clean or clear. Okay, we like drinking water that doesn't have floaties in it. Okay, you ever let your kid take a drink of your soda or your water or something? You bring it back and there's more in it than when it left. You know, not fun. You ever pull a glass off the shelf and it's not clean and it's not clear anymore? You know, it's got the spots from the dishwasher and all that. You know, you don't want to use something like that. And you think about what God wants in our life. God doesn't want to use the dirty containers. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be clear. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look, if you would, at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor or value, and some to dishonor or disgrace. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So God wants us to be pure so that he can fill us and so that he can use us as a vessel for him. We talk often about how, you know, we need holiness. Holiness and purity are flip side of the same coin. They're very similar. They're not the same, but they're very similar. And holiness means without spot. Without spot. Blameless. Pure. Without spot. So it's talking about, you know, the glasses that you pick them up. I cannot stand on my, even on my glasses that I wear on my face, to have a spot on them. Drives me nuts to have that. And so I'm cleaning them obsessively in class, and the student's like, why are you cleaning them so much? And I can't take the spots. I don't like them. And, you know, but holiness would be without that, without spot. And that's what God wants us to strive to be. You know, it always bothers me when people are like, oh, you're just one of those goody two-shoes. You're trying to be holier than thou. You got me. Yes, I'm trying to be holier than you, all right? I am trying to be holy, all right? I mean, it's not a competition, but I'm winning. No, I think we all ought to strive for holiness, and there's nothing wrong with that. And listen, as this day and age in which we live in, as the world it before our very eyes is getting worse and worse, and frowning and attacking Christianity. And I'm telling you, Christianity is being attacked right now in our country. And as they look at us like freaks who, you know, you don't even do this. You guys don't even listen to Christian rock. It's called Christian. And all this sort of stuff. Listen, it's not going to get better for us out there. You know, so you can't say, well, you know, we don't have to be that holy. No, we need to be more holy. We need to show a difference. We need to embrace holiness, not shy away from it. Okay, well, it makes us different. Yeah, there should be a big difference, and God wants that, and He'll plan that from the beginning. So the what there is cleanness. So the what of this beatitude is cleanness. Blessed are the clean. I think we ought to strive for purity with our mouth. What we say. Strive to be pure. You know, wicked jokes are unbecoming to a Christian. Curse words should never come out of the mouth of a Christian. It never ceases to amaze me. How there are some people, and they're very raw Christians, if you know what I mean by raw or new, or they're not really in church faithful. But I had it on Sunday. One of my visitors, who I know is already saved, sitting there talking to me and cusses twice in church. And I'm like, how can you not know? You know, how can you just ignore? But those things should not come out of the mouth of a Christian. I don't even think euphemism should come out of the mouth of a Christian. I think we just stay away from that. You know, what does it hurt us not to say words like that? Pure mouth, I think a pure mind. A pure mind. It's not in your sheet there. I'm just spitballing here. But, you know, a pure mind of just saying, hey, I'm going to work at controlling my thought life. I'm not going to let thoughts of bitterness creep in. I'm not going to let immoral thoughts creep in. I'm not going to let thoughts of leaving my husband or leaving my wife creep in. I'm not going to let thoughts of, you know, quitting church. I'm going to maintain a pure thought life. A pure mind. How about pure motives? Pure motives. Everyone keeps looking at their sheet. Where is this, Pastor? It's not on your sheet, okay? But pure motives. In other words, doing things for the right reason. When you serve God, is it with an eye looking over your shoulder to see who sees you? Do you need a pat on the back? Listen, if you served in a ministry and now you're bitter because no one saw it, you did it for the wrong reason. You know what? Let me give you your reward. There you go. But you're not getting one in heaven if you do that. If you're seeking men's applause and approval, read Matthew chapter 5-7. All you get is a hand clap. But if you do it for God, boy, there's a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in heaven for you, okay? How about not only pure mind and pure mouth, pure morals, how about a pure body? A pure body. Pure manners. Just, you know, with what we use this body for. We only have one. Okay, let's not be filling it with things that God doesn't want in there, whether it be through the eyes, through the ears, or through the mouth, or through veins, or through anything else. Let's make sure that we're keeping it pure before God. God wants purity. I believe in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not just your mind, not just your heart, your body as well. God wants the body to be pure. So the what is cleanness? Number next, the where. So we see the what is cleanness, but where does the Bible say for us to be pure? And I think this is simple, but yet there's truth to this here. The Bible, Jesus did not say, blessed are the pure in actions. Jesus did not say, blessed are the pure in thought. He did not say, blessed are the pure in speech, or blessed are the pure in ceremonies, or blessed are the pure in sacrifices. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit and tell you that, and I'll just tell you now, that was Jesus' message always, was heart first. Heart first. What is the heart? The heart, literally in that phrase there that we read in Matthew 5, means your thoughts or feelings. We know the heart is the seat, or kind of like the soul of our being. It contains our mind, our intellect, our will, what we choose to do, and our emotions. Some people live by their emotions. They wear their heart on their sleeve. But also involved in that should be our decision-making based upon our will, or based upon our mind and thinking and facts from the Bible, and not upon our emotions. But the where, fill that in there, is the heart. God wants cleanness in the heart. Cleanness in the heart. Well, I'll just clean up the outside. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. So we see the what. God wants cleanness. Where? In the heart. Why? Why? Well, we read in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's incredible. Because remember, there was the present blessing and the future blessing. So not only will we see God literally one day with physical eyes, but the blessed in heart can see God now through spiritual eyes, the pure in heart. Okay, let's get into this. For they shall see God. Wow, that I love that phrase, and I really want to go into that and take you to Moses in the Old Testament and all that, but I don't have time to do all that. I believe the main interpretation of the passage is simple. No man sees God or his heaven without purity of heart from salvation. From salvation. And I put some verses there. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God will purify our hearts, cleanse us, so that He can take us to be with Him. I probably said it on Sunday because I say it in my gospel presentation. If we are sinners and we go to heaven that way, heaven's no longer perfect. We need cleansing and holiness before we get there. And complete holiness. Complete cleansing. Okay? Even a new body is given to us. All right? John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? How about Hebrews 12:14? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I believe it is talking about salvation in a very real spiritual sense there. But, and think about this too, fill in some blanks here. Well, you say, Pastor, everyone's going to see God one day at the great white throne or another. Fill these in here. Everyone without Christ will, and I put quotation marks around, see God in the day of judgment, but they will not see Him in peace. They will not see their Father, they will see the judge. And that's the blank you want to fill in there. They will see the judge. Now, I don't know this to be true or not, so I'm just telling you this. All I know is on earth, no one could look upon God. He was too holy. To look upon God was death. That's why Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, and God passed by, and Moses was able to turn around and see the backside of God and not His face. I don't know if that's implied here with this for the unsaved, but I will tell you, to see in the Bible, oftentimes the word see is used in the sense of being with someone. I'm going to go see so-and-so. What does that mean? I'm going to go be with them. It means dwelling with someone or enjoying their company. So there's more to it than just eyesight. And by the way, none of those things I just mentioned will be able to be done by the unsaved. They will not be able to enjoy time with God. They will not be enjoying His presence, which is sad. They will not be enjoying company with Him or dwelling with Him forever. They won't be able to see any of that. The Lord, I think Spurgeon said this, the Lord is pure and holy. None but the pure and holy will see Him. So there is the interpretation there, but I also see a lot of applications from this. Because as I mentioned, we'll see God with our eyes one day physically, but spiritually, we can see God now. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. The pure in heart see God in this life. The pure in heart see God in this life. In fact, if you read, I think it's Psalm 14:4. I can't remember right now. That may not be right. But in several places, God says, seek ye my face. He says, seek my face, over and over again. The pure in heart, I believe, seek and find. Seek and ye shall find, right? New Testament. So we can enjoy communion with God, we can worship God, and we can behold His beauty and His power through the Word of God and prayer. Look on your sheet. We can see God in nature. You ever been somewhere beautiful and it just takes your breath away and you think, wow, how could we ever think that this just popped into existence from nothing? Do you ever look at the stars, get away from Long Beach and so you can see through the smog, so you hear something other than gunshots? And, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But you go up to the mountains or something. You get a Big Bear. You go to the desert. You get out on the ocean and you look up and the sky is bright with stars and you think, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Yeah, you ever feel that? I feel that way a lot. We can see God in nature. In fact, in the Bible, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. And even so much that those without Christ are without excuse because he's revealed himself so much in nature. We see God in Scripture. In Scripture, we can get to know God through the Word. Unsaved people can't seem to find God anywhere. They don't see Him in nature. They don't see Him in Scripture. We see God in His church. And would you fill this in with spiritual eyes? With spiritual eyes. By the way, we have access now to the throne room of God. Though we may not see Him physically, we can sit before God. And in this life, the pure in heart are able to see God and see Him through various avenues which He has given to us. But I'd say, secondly, the pure in heart see God moving throughout their lives. If you're looking for God in this world, you can find Him. Not in the world system, but in nature and creation, in the church, in the Word of God. You can see Him. The pure in heart see God moving throughout their life. The pure in heart see God's hand in everything that He does. And everything that happens to them, and everything that they do, they see God's hand moving. I believe the pure in heart understand more of the workings of God. I believe, and I'll say that again, I believe the pure in heart understand more of the workings of God. Because as purity is in your life, you are closer to God. Impurity gives spiritual blindness, which we'll see later. And so if you're not living right, you're not going to understand why God does certain things in your life. You ever see people turn and blame God? Why? They weren't very pure in heart to begin with. They don't understand. They can't look at the Bible and have faith and trust or see His hand moving and connect dots. But the pure in heart are more capable of doing that. Listen, if you cannot look through a lens of anger at everything, or a lens of bitterness at everything, or a lens of lust, or a lens of, whatever else, pain, and expect to see God and understand Him. You can't look through eyesight with anger and expect to understand God. It doesn't happen that way. The great truths of the gospel cannot be perceived by those whose hearts are impure. Is impure, he said. That's his direct quote. Some people, and by the way, I'll say this too, and I'll move on to the next point. Some people see God better than others do. I've had people in this church, something happens or whatever, and they'll say, but yeah, but didn't God do this too? And I'm like, that's right. You're right. And they were able to see God doing something that I did not see, probably because I wasn't looking. And some people can, and look, I'm not saying, you stub your toe, that was the Lord. Yeah, just, you know, stomach. It may be that you're clumsy. You know, but I'm saying that when I'm talking about the Romans 8:28 type of Christianity, you know, seeing things and saying, oh, that's why God did that. You know, that's why this happened. And by the way, sometimes you don't know. And let's just be honest. You don't get to figure it out and you don't know. But sometimes God does make it clear for those pure in heart that see Him. Number three here underneath this, the pure in heart rejoice at the thought of seeing God. I believe that's one of the implications from this verse as well. What's the first word of the Beatitude we just read? Blessed. Blessed. What's that mean? Happy. So listen to it this way. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I read it in this way as well. The people that are pure in heart are happy about it, the fact that they get to see God. That's why they're blessed. They're happy that they get to see God. They're prepared. They're looking for His coming. Listen, those that are not pure in heart are fearing the day they see God. They're not looking forward to His coming, okay? But we're looking for that blessed hope. Take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Those that are pure in heart are looking for it. 1 John chapter 3. I love these three verses. Excuse me. Look at verse 1. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. I love, you know, you think about the verse that Jesus said, marvel not that the world hate you. It hated me first. You know, as Christians, we can't be, people don't like us. They hated Jesus too, okay? But, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Wow. So before we see God, we're thinking about that. And what do we do when we think about having to stand before God? We purify some stuff, don't we? We try to get things out of our life. Biblical truths about purity. Let me go into this here because I don't want to get log jammed here. I want to get through everything. Number one, and some of these are just straight from the Bible and you know what they are. All right. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. To God, the importance of the outward appearance pales in comparison to the importance of the state of your heart. Now, 1 Samuel 16:7 is where Samuel says, "For God seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." That's where that comes straight from the Bible there. But your outward appearance is not as important to God as your inward state of your heart. Okay, listen to 2 Corinthians 5:12. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Let's just go to the next thing here. Is there another scripture on there for you? No. Okay, there are some, by the way, let me just stop and say this. There are some amazing Christians that don't have it all together on the outside. You know what I mean? It's half of you are here tonight. No, I'm kidding. But but if you look at them, maybe you're like, wow, you know, they look kind of rough, kind of scruffy. Their cars are not washed. There's trash here. There's whatever it may be. But they're made of gold. Their hearts are of gold, okay? And I think, you know, it's important, that they may not be polished, but they're genuine. But what's more important to God, having it all together on the outside or being pure on the inside? I think we know what the answer is. But let me stop and say this. Don't be a slob. I don't think it pleases God that, well, I got a pure heart, but I haven't taken a shower in 3 weeks. You know, I think, you know, remember that verse that God looks on the heart, but the Bible does say that man looketh on the outward appearance, right? And aren't we God's billboards? Yeah, I think we are. So we got to be very careful. You know, when people look at us, do they see Jesus? I don't think Jesus was a slob, right? So as much as I think the heart is more important, we need to get it together on the outside as well, okay? And because man does just judge that. What we wear says something about what we believe. Number two, until the heart is pure, the hands will never be. Now take your Bible, go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Look at Psalm 24 and verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Clean hands and a pure heart. Okay, fill this in. Clean hands represent the outside. Clean heart represents the inside. Clean hands represent the outside. Clean heart represents, pure heart represents the inside. We cannot expect our actions and motives to be right if our heart isn't. You cannot expect your actions to be right if your heart's not right. You cannot expect or be pleasing to God. You cannot expect your motives to be right if your heart's not right. Say, why? Because then why are you doing it? To put on airs? Take your Bible, go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I have two passages here we'll turn to. I think they're the last ones I'll have you turn to. This one and one other one. Matthew 23. I read this recently. I don't remember which message it was. I just love this passage of Scripture as Jesus is letting the scribes and Pharisees have it. Look at Matthew 23, please. Verse number 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Now sometime you ought to go through these next three, four verses and circle the word outward or inward, or outward or within. Okay, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So you clean the inside, the outside gets clean. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous, there's the outward appearance, unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So he's talking about cleanliness inside and out. And he says, oh, you guys appear great outwardly, but within, it's not clean at all. And it corrupts the whole dish. It corrupts the whole platter. It corrupts the whole cup when the inside is... We don't drink with the outside of a cup. You drink with the inside, you know? And so it's got to be clean. Outwardly good, inwardly not clean. Go one more place with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now this is talking about wives. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation or behavior coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Inside, more important than outside. Paul said in Romans 2, 28, 29 on your sheet there, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Listen, you're not a Christian outwardly first. You're a Christian inwardly. You're not a real Christian if all you are is an outward Christian. You're not saved. It has to happen inside. Paul even asked the Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, or 10, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? He asked them that because they were looking at him and saying, you know, you're a short little Jewish guy with, you know, some eye problems and all this stuff. They were judging his appearance. But can I say, with the Apostle Paul, don't judge a book by its cover? That man had the power of God, of course, on his life. Number three, so until the heart is pure, the hands will never be. Get the heart pure and the actions will follow. Okay. Number three, the heart should be checked and cleansed daily. Checked and cleansed daily. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Have God search your heart. David even prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because sin builds up, it accumulates in the heart. And that's the area that the devil aims at first. Would you fill these two blanks in? If the devil can get to the heart, he can control the hands. Now, I don't know, if I redid this, I would use the word influence and not the word control. If the devil can get to the heart, he can influence the hands. Number four, it is not in man's power to cleanse his own heart. So I just said a moment ago, hey, our heart should be checked and cleansed daily. I said, well, Pastor, you just told us to clean our heart. No, I said it needs to be cleaned. But we can't do it. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. And by the way, we cannot be completely pure of sin yet on this earth. Although we have sin dwelling in us, we are justified from all sin by the righteousness of Christ and cleansed of our sin by the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We've been saved, okay? However, not just the salvation cleansing, but the daily cleansing is not done ourselves. What does the daily cleansing? The Word of God does that. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. So fill this in, please. It is the Holy Spirit through God's Word that purifies us. It is the Holy Spirit through God's Word that purifies us. Well, Pastor, I want to check my heart and get it clean. Then you come before God and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. It's God doing that. And then you take this book and you allow it to wash over your mind, to get that spiritual scrub brush and scrub the mind and scrub the heart. And God will change you through this book. It's just my willpower. I'll change. No, you won't. It has to be something that God does. No man has the power to cleanse his own heart. The last thing I'll leave with you, I've got about 3 minutes, so I want to get through this here. Impurity, fill that in the blank there, causes spiritual blindness. But purity brings the most glorious sight. Okay, so blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. For they shall see what? God. So impure people do not see. The impure in heart are blind spiritually. But the pure in heart do see something. And what they see is the greatest sight you could ever behold. God Himself. Impurity of heart means you can't see God. I put that on your sheet there. Purity of heart means that you do see God, who is the most glorious sight ever seen. Think of all the things you miss seeing if you're not pure in heart. You miss seeing answered prayers from God. You miss the Romans 8:28 moments that God works all things together for good. You miss seeing God in the little things of life. You miss seeing God in the big things of life. You just miss seeing God because you've allowed corruptness and sin into your life. You miss walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, in the garden. You miss seeing God do miracles in your life. You're going to miss seeing a lot if you get attached to this world. You may see the world. You may become famous. But there's a lot of things you're not going to see that were worth it. With God, think about this. Think of all the things that you will see if you're pure in heart. And you can just go back through the list of things I just mentioned and think about all the things that God will allow you to see if you will keep your heart pure. What do you see in your own heart when you look there? Are you blind to the needs of your own heart? Is purity important to you? On your sheet here, we may see him with spiritual eyes here, but there is coming a day when we will see him face to face with our physical eyes in heaven. What a day that will be. I saw this little quote here, and I'll leave it with you and we'll pray. Far from a world of grief and sin, with God eternally shut in. I thought that was just a great little thought to leave with you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Are we striving to be less like this world? Are we striving to have purity in our homes, in our hearts, in our lives? Pure mind, pure mouth, pure morals, pure manners.